Good morning. How's everyone today? Good. Yes, it's a good day in the Lord. Amen. My name is Uta Looney. I am from the friendly state of Ohio. And actually, our state is shaped like a heart. So I think they think we're the heart of the United States. And we are right next door to West Virginia. And that's a good state, too. So, okay, the name of my workshop is Tested Faith Produces Patience, and the scripture is taken out of James 1, verses 2 through 6. Patience is a virtue that is very dear to the Lord's heart. And patience is so important to God, He made it a fruit of the Spirit. And of course, anything that is important to God is going to have some trials come against it. And that's the same thing when we're trying to grow in the fruit of the Spirit. You're going to have tests. And so trials are tests of faith. And I didn't really realize that. When I started this study, when I saw the topic, I'm like, I have no clue what this means. None. So I went and went to my concordance and my commentaries, and I'm like, oh, wow, this is really important. But it's natural for us to shrink back from trials, right? We'd love to have a life that's just peaceful and without problems, it'd be serene. But we know that that's not how life is, that our lives can change in a matter of seconds, right? And the important thing is, how are you going to react? Are you going to panic? Are you going to be filled with despair? Are you going to be angry? Are you going to take revenge? Are you going to lash out at someone? Are you going to get mad at God, think that He doesn't love you, and turn from Him? Or are you going to turn to Him? Because He's the only one that's going to be able to help you. We need to turn to Him in faith and seek His help always. And I'd like to start with prayer. Heavenly Father, I just thank You for this day. I thank You, Father, for this opportunity to share Your word. I ask, Father, that You would help me deliver it with clarity. Father, that anyone that might be going through a trial right now, that they would be encouraged to know that You've got it. You've got it right in Your hands. I thank You, Father, that they'll have ears to hear, and that I'll even have ears to hear. And that if You want to take me off on a rabbit trail, that I'll do it. I thank You, Lord. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Okay, let's first just talk briefly about faith. Faith is believing without seeing. And I loved what Pastor Lavelle said yesterday. It's faithful. God is looking for faithful servants. Yes, faith is important, but being faithful is even more important. Amen? And so in 2 Corinthians 5, 6 to 7, it says, therefore, we are always confident. We live by faith, not by sight. When you find yourself facing problems or trials or difficulties, there's all different names, but they're all the same thing, tough decisions. Do you trust God's sufficiency? Do you put yourself and your future into His hands? Because as Christians, we're supposed to establish our life upon Him. Amen? Upon faith. Faith does not panic. How many of you panicked? Oh, we've never panicked, right? No matter how difficult it gets, we need to have such an assurance, such a confidence in our Father to know that He is going to take us through it and that we're going to be overcomers. Amen? And when you seek the presence of God, you're going to have His omnipotent power to help you. It's always available. You don't need to be distressed or anxious or afraid. And I know that's a hard thing because we've all been there. But the first thing we need to do is turn to Him. Not to man, but you turn to Him. Because He's known this from the beginning. He has your destiny is planned out. And He's all-powerful, all-knowing. So we should never fear when Jesus is near. Security comes in the presence of God. So we need to learn to live in the hedges of His protection. Why? Because he's the captain of your salvation. He's the captain of your life. And the safest place in life is when you're in a storm is with Jesus. Have him in the storm with you. Amen? The scripture in Isaiah 43 says, he wants to remind us that when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned. For I am the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Fear not, for I am with you. And I'd like to do a dance. I'm going to mix in a little bit of dance in with this workshop. So the dance I'm going to do is called You Are My Shield. So Lisa's going to try and get that on for me. But, well, the first one. I call it You Are My Shield, but it's whatever it is. Yes, that one. Sorry. I always call it You Are My Shield. And we know that he is our fortress. He's our high tower. He's our help in time of need. He's everything that we need. And I love music. I love what the lyrics have to say. And when I got this topic, God just made my ears sensitive to the songs that are on the radio. And they're all about standing with him, standing and pressing into him, because he is there for you. All right. I'll start here. Amen. Amen. Okay. So Jesus came to confirm that God loves us. Amen. That we are precious in his sight. Therefore, he never wants to see any harm come to us. Amen. We need to learn to walk along his path, doing his will. Nancy has said, you know, sometimes we walk in our own footsteps, but we need to learn to walk in his footsteps. Right? Right. Okay. If you do walk in his footsteps, you'll experience peace of mind, even if you cannot see the complete road ahead. Faith will carry you through. We need to not base our faith on our experiences, but on our foundation, the Word of God. This gives us only, and he always gives us only what we can handle. Do you agree with that?
Would you say that one more time?
Which part? We need to carry our what? Oh, it says faith will carry you through. It says we should not base our faith on our experiences, but on the foundation, which is God's word. Is that what you need?
Yeah.
Okay. Earthly wisdom considers trials as great pain, great discouragement, depression, sadness. Earthly wisdom says avoid trials at all costs, because it's going to interfere with your selfish pursuits, whatever it could be, your sports, money, status, you name it. And they say that the word says to consider it all joy. When trials come against you, consider it all joy. The world says you can't consider it joy because it's going to keep you from your selfish pursuits. You should not care about endurance or maturity or even completion. Instead, you should care about comfort, fulfilling your selfish ambitions. Earthly wisdom looks at the now, and so it minimizes the value of steadfastness and endurance. It pushes the patience and the now or never syndrome. A Christian should never base their lives and be focused on this present world. God is focused on the future, and so we need to be focused on our future. Does that make sense? So God's word says in James 1, verses 2 to 3 in the Message Bible, consider it a sheer gift, friends, when you tests and challenges come at you from all sides. You know that under pressure, your life is forced into the open and shows its true colors. So don't try to get out of anything prematurely. Let it do its work so you become mature and well-developed, not deficient in any way. How many like to take tests over and over again? Not me. So he's saying, consider your trials great joy. Consider your trials a great gift. Why should you welcome trials and learn how to endure them? What is God's purpose for allowing trials in your life? We're going to look at those and see if we can't answer that. The command is clear in James 1, verse 2. Consider it a great joy, my brothers, whenever you experience various trials. Again, trials are tests of faith. James is asking us to think about our attitude toward life. Are we living life for ourselves? Or are we living life for him? Or are you trying to mix the two? Look closer at what is happening. When a trial or problem comes up, look at what is happening. Stop and look at it. And see what it's, and look at it not from your own perspective, but look at it through the perspective of God's eyes. What could be the purpose of that distress? Pause your feelings and immediate reactions and think and learn to consider. Don't emote. So don't let your emotions take over. Hard one to do, I know. But we need to get to the point where something comes up, we immediately focus on the Lord. So what I'd like to do now is look at some of the sources of trials and that can lead us to patience. Now, patience is endurance in this case. Okay, steadfastness, being able to stand under pressure. And sometimes we're the ones that open the door to temptations. And when we go down the wrong path in life, it grieves God's heart because he knows that we're only going to hurt ourselves. Right? He also knows that this is our natural tendency because we, like sheep, easily wander and stray from the one and only shepherd that can take care of us and keep us safe. The devil's always trying to stop the plans and purposes of God. Satan doesn't want the gospel to go forth, so he's going to be all against evangelism. He's afraid, or he's not afraid, he does not want the kingdom of God to grow, and he's going to do anything he can to thwart the plan of God to mature you. And that's the other end of this endurance part, the patience part, is that you want to be complete and whole, mature, at the end of your life or experience here on earth, so that you're going to be ready for heaven. Okay? Let's see, what else do I have? Satan is going to interfere with your desire to grow spiritually. He may even convince you you're unfit to be used by God because you might have made a wrong choice along the way. But we have a loving God, and he is willing and able to cleanse us from our sin, pick us up, and put us back on that path if we allow him to. But that's a choice we have to make, right? His rod of correction imparts wisdom. Don't rely on your own wisdom or the wisdom of others. Instead, seek the will of God and ask him for his plan and have him guide you and show you his will. Remember, his way is always perfect. Always. Always, always perfect. What the enemy meant for harm, we know the scripture. What the enemy has meant for harm, God will use it for not only his good, but for our good. That's a hard one to accept, isn't it? Lukewarm living will lead to sin. And what do we know about lukewarm? God will spew us out. So don't go there if you can't. Don't go there. Just don't go there. Okay? Sometimes the choices of others or circumstances beyond our control can cause trials in your life. You can have natural disasters, serious illness, a death, an accident, a loss of employment, financial troubles. And we just need to be able to just know that God knows about it and that he's there to help us. I married a Marine, so I ended up becoming a military wife. And I found myself alone a lot. I found myself with my husband overseas for 13 months at a time. And I had to learn that I could do it. I knew the Lord then, but I didn't know the Lord. But I always went to him in prayer. But God always took care of me. He always put people in my path, in my neighborhood, that were right there to give me the help that I needed. And so, you know, God kept me safe. But there were times when I had to make decisions. And we didn't have texting. We didn't have the internet then. I mean, those are we were talking last night at the table, that lives, you know, even in our own lifetime, how things have changed. So we only had communication by the telephone maybe once every 2 weeks. It was an international call, and then there were the letters, but of course the letters always showed up like 3-4 weeks later, so by that time the situation was over. But the military doesn't issue wives, so therefore they really don't care if they get left behind in the States when they're going overseas. And I had also had second time he went, I found out I was pregnant with my second child. I have 2 children, a son and a daughter. And ended up being pregnant, and I thought, well, how am I going to do this? Well, God had the answer. He had my neighbor across the street, And she ended up being my Lamaze coach. And so we had that baby. And he was 5 months old when my husband came home from Okinawa. He thought it was great. Child sleeping through the night, it was good. But I thought it was going to be very difficult because it was just going to be my two-year-old and myself. But you know what? God gave me the strength to do that, to live through that. And I look at it as a true blessing because it gave me a chance to bond with my little one. And I didn't have to, because anyone who's a mother knows that when a baby comes along, you have to devote so much time to your new child that the husbands usually get a little forgotten. But I had 5 months to spend with my little boy. And then Russ came home, and now he was going to go to school. He was going to go to college in California, and we were living in California. So I went from no husband to husband there all the time. And now, with two little kids, I'm supposed to keep everyone quiet so he can study because his classes were at night. And, of course, they crammed like a whole semester or whatever they call it into a month. So that was a nice change. But we made it. But, you know, it just depends on what your attitude is. You just take that, whatever challenge it is, give it to God, and he's going to take you through it, and then you're going to see why that happened. Makes you trust him even more. Amen? Let's see. Sometimes it's because of your personal relationship with Jesus Christ. A man who's been justified by faith, sometimes they have this false belief that they're going to be exempt from problems, that life is just going to be all roses. But we also know that we have the light and the dark, and the darkness is always trying to thwart the plans of God. So if you have his light, his spirit in you, you're going to have some resistance sometimes. And it says in the word, in the world you will have tribulation in John 16:13. But for the man who has been justified by faith, problems and trials work for him and not against him. That's a good thing to remember. If a trial comes along, it's to work for you, not against you. Examples. An example. The apostles were flogged for spreading the gospel about Jesus Christ, saying that Jesus was the Messiah, right? And so they had suffered a lot of shame and beatings. And in the word it says they rejoiced that they were being counted worthy to suffer shame and to be exposed to disgrace for the sake of knowing Jesus. And in spite of the threats, the apostles never ceased to proclaim his name. They were willing to suffer shame for his name. They could have given up for the injustice done to them, but no, they rejoiced. Well, how did they rejoice? How could they? Well, they remembered what Jesus had told them. In Matthew 5:11-12, when men shall revile you and persecute you, rejoice and be exceedingly glad. They were abused for the sake of knowing Christ, and they kept on serving him. So troubles should not diminish your joy of knowing the Lord. The joy of the Lord is your strength. There's a lot of power in that scripture. The news of their punishment will even further the advancement of Christ's name. So whatever happens, you may not think it's significant, but people are always watching, and they watch to see how you're going to react. And your testimony of just how you handle that situation is going to mean a lot. I remember when my son was playing soccer, and somebody, they like to, you know, they kick the ball, but sometimes they kick each other. And he got kicked in the groin, and he kept on playing the game. And he kept complaining it was hurting worse and worse and worse. So I took him to the doctor, and the doctor says, I don't even know how you're able to stand up. Well, I guess it was pretty serious. So serious that he had to take off 6 weeks from school. And so his coach called me up, and I was at work, and he said, I didn't realize it was that serious. And I said, yeah, apparently it is. And so, you know, we prayed, and he's healed, and you know, my concern might be he might not be able to have children, but he's got two I have two grandbabies from him, so we're good. I'm happy. I'm a happy camper. But anyway, the people in my office, I worked in a real estate office, and they're like, "Why aren't you upset?" I'm like, "There's nothing I can do about this." I said, "God's going to take care of it, right? You just trust him. Trust him." So turn adversities into opportunities for greater joy. You rejoice because he's going to give you the power and the grace to endure and to overcome. The apostles were not shaken, and they remained diligent and endured their trial. To them, it was an honor to suffer for the name of Jesus. They were not ashamed to be shamed. So we should ask ourselves, am I willing to suffer shame for his name? Or do we run? Trials can steal your joy in serving the Lord, or you can count it worthy to suffer. Exulting in the trial doesn't mean it doesn't hurt. It's not denying the pain, but through the pain or the grief, you are sustained by the hope of God's promises, that we know that he's sovereign over all things and that he cares for us. Here's the main reason why you should consider your trials and tribulations, your problems, your distresses, great joy. Because God's ultimate goal for you is for each one of us to be conformed to the image of his Son, Jesus Christ, because he's preparing us for heaven. And as Nancy's been saying, we are to be getting prepared, but while we're getting prepared, that doesn't mean that we can't prepare others to meet Jesus. Amen? So sometimes what he's going to do is he's going to bring you loving correction. The Bible teaches that God loves you so much he is willing to discipline his child. It says, "Behold, happy is the man whom God correcteth." Being joyful during those times says that you are thankful for the chastening and that you're not angry with him. Trials and tribulations also are to grow your faith and to purify your faith. Trials are to grow your trust in God because you experience his trustworthiness, his faithfulness, and you learn to understand his divine character. And you grow to having full confidence in him to strengthen you, to empower you, so that you not only stand in the fire, but that you come through the fire unscathed. So you remember the three men that were thrown in the fiery furnace because they would not bow down to King Nebuchadnezzar? And so he thought, well, I'll get them. I'm going to throw them in the oven, right? And turns out that didn't do anything except prove to King Nebuchadnezzar that they did serve God Almighty. And so God left them or brought them out of that fire without a hair singed or even smelling of smoke. Hopefully we don't have to go through a fire like that, a test like that. But that was really a tested faith. And so King Nebuchadnezzar, through that test of the three, King Nebuchadnezzar had his eyes illuminated, and he met the King of Kings. Amen? Amen. So let's think about how gold is processed. It takes a fiery furnace in order to do that. It takes lots and lots of heat. And each time it's heated up, more impurities are taken out until it's purified. So look at your trials the same way. Now, your trials can be different or they can repeat themselves. But either way, it is an opportunity for your Father, our Father, to teach us to lean on him and not unto our own understanding. James is encouraging believers that trials and tribulations are a good thing, that we should welcome them. Exalting in trials is not an easy thing. It's not an automatic response. It's something that you have to deliberately focus on to get through the trial. God's people have reason to rejoice at all times, in all places, even during times of distress. How can you do that? Well, first of all, think about what he's done for you. You praise and worship him for who he is and who he has made you. Jesus has already won the victory. He won it back at the cross. Amen? And you can choose to be a victim or a victor. You can choose to be bitter, or you can choose to be better. You are to exercise the Christian grace of joy. And sadness, depression, and despair are the opposite of joy, right? So God doesn't want you to grow weary, and he doesn't want you to faint. He wants you to stand and press through. But how? Prayer. Pray. James 5:13-16. Is any one of you in trouble? He should pray. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. How many of you have been to the doctor for a physical, and he takes out that little rubber hammer, and he knocks it on your knee? What's your, you have that automatic response, boing, right? And no matter how many times he hits it, it's going to do exactly the same thing. That's a reflexive response. So now what we need to think of that, and now think of how do you respond when troubles hit you? What is your reflexive reaction? It should be turning to God in prayer. Put on the whole armor of God. Activate the mind of Christ. Continually feed your spirit man with spiritual food. Renewing your mind daily by meditating on his word and his promises. And absolutely believing in the Christian foundation and holding on tightly to the truths of God. And by keeping your spirit man fed, the joy of the Lord is your strength. You'll be able to rely on him and allow God to prove again and again that he is faithful. Back through trials and tribulations, not only is God trying to prove you, but God is proving himself, right? So it's a two-way street. Faith tried by afflictions will reveal your level of faith. You know that you learn to endure by having your faith tested. Tested means to be tried or experienced, to purge and refine. You must not allow your faith to be shaken in times of trial. Stand firm or be shaken. You either believe in the promises of God or you don't. Your mind cannot be divided. You cannot mix faith with doubt and unbelief. You cannot divide your allegiance between God and man. And your choice is going to determine whether you linger in the trial or you're going to be an overcomer and be victorious. Tribulations also work an experience of yourself. You're going to find out what is your, how much you love your Lord God the Father and how you confidently trust him. You'll learn if you've passed the test of faith. And with each victory, you become even more and more reliant on God and less upon yourself. You realize that there's nothing comparable to God. It's like the more you do, the first time you do something, you're fearful. The second time you do it, you have a little less fear. The third time, oh, I got this. It comes to the point where you just have this absolute confidence that God is right there with you. Okay? There is no doubt, no unbelief. Think of Job. How many trials did he go through? He still held on to his integrity. He still blessed the Lord. He still, he never cursed God for what came upon him, right? He behaved the same when he was in distress as when things were going well for him. And that's how we need to be. So trials should never affect our joy, because your joy in the Lord is actually separate from the trial. Trials will produce patience and endurance. Webster Dictionary defines patience as bearing trials calmly, without complaint, not hasty. Steadfastness despite difficulty, adversity, or opposition. Able to bear, standing fast, steadfastness of mind under duress. Scriptures, James 2:3, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Be assured and understand that the trial and proving of your faith bring out endurance and steadfastness and patience. But you must learn to endure everything so that you will be completely mature and not lacking in anything. Trials build strength, and they strengthen your spiritual muscle. They allow you to exercise another Christian virtue, patience. We know as you exercise your physical body, the stronger it gets. Well, we have to exercise our spiritual fruit. And the only way it's going to grow stronger is by being tested. So each time it's growing, each time it's tested, the stronger it grows. And it will prove and improve and improve with each trial. Patience is active. It's an ongoing process. It's something you must let work. Whatever you say or do in a trial, allow patience to be involved. If you choose to go the trial your way, you're going to probably fail. And you're actually hindering the hand of God in your life, because he's there to help you. But if you're not going to go to him, and you do it in your own strength, you're going to fail. If you do something too fast, if he tells you to do something, gives you instruction, and you do it too fast, or you do it because you can't wait any longer, then haste is going to cost you more trouble. Trusting God for the outcome doesn't mean you sit back and do nothing, though. You cannot passively expect him to work on your behalf without you doing anything on your part. You can't ignore Jesus' word in Matthew 7:7. It says, "Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be given to you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near." You need to be actively searching and seeking him for wisdom. What is wisdom? Insight. Necessary information to help us, and that we can learn from our difficulties. He'll order your footsteps so that you can walk in his footsteps and keep your way of the Lord. Trust and obey. We've heard a lot about trust and obedience. I like to think about the acronym SALT, which says stop and seek, ask, listen, and trust. In Luke 14:33, it says, "Salt is excellent, but if the salt goes flat, it's useless, good for nothing." So your trials and tests are going to keep you saltier, right? So confess your weaknesses to him and look to the Holy Spirit for wisdom and the strength you need. Believe that he's never going to leave nor forsake you, because he's omnipotent, omnipresent, and omniscient. Your old nature is going to rise up, and it's going to try to assert itself. But remember, you have the Spirit of Jesus Christ living within you. Let God take you through in his timing. Not your timing, his timing. If you wait upon God, allowing him to work in you, you're going to be triumphant in and through the trial. Patience will work wonders in a time of trouble. Patience does more good than the tribulation does to hurt you. Did you hear that? Patience does you more good than the trials that come against you. I'm going to do another dance, Lisa, and it's going to be Hungry, number 6. And this song is about seeking God and knowing that he is the only one that can satisfy. So he's the only one. Only one you should turn to. The only one that can satisfy your needs. Amen? Amen. Sufferings will also lead to endurance. Romans 5:3-5. Moreover, let us also be full of joy now. Let us exult and triumph in our troubles and rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that pressure and affliction and hardship produce patience and unswerving endurance. And endurance, fortitude, develops maturity of character, approved faith, and tried integrity. And character of this sort produces the habit of joyful and confident hope of eternal salvation. Such hope never disappoints or deludes or shames us, for God's love has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. We have been called soldiers in the Lord's army. As we stand our ground, not being defeated by the power of the enemy, we are believing and confirming the favor of God. We are to stand in a humble confidence that says, He who began a good work in us will perform it. That we are very confident in our God. Recognize that your sufferings are less than our sins deserve. Jesus suffered with joy the ultimate penalty on our behalf. With each affliction, we gain knowledge of the loving kindness of our Heavenly Father. Amen. Your joy is in the hope of the glory of God. The glory of God will put upon the saints in heaven. You can experience His presence and His grace now. It can only be received by faith. Grace is the glory of God begun now. We don't have to wait for it. It's here now. So I'm going to repeat that. Grace is the glory of God begun now. God is perfecting and completing us, lacking in nothing. Maturity and completeness means you lack nothing that a finite human is to lack before Christ's return. You were predestined to be conformed into the image of God's Son, Christ Jesus. You are to align yourselves with God's ultimate goal so that you will be just like Christ. This is what maturity and completeness is. The true walk of a Christian is a supernatural walk, a spiritual walk, versus the earthly realm. Our old nature will try to keep you from being perfected into the image of God. We need to die to ourselves and trust God to crucify our old nature. Less of me and more of Him in me. To the unrighteous man, tribulation results in impatience and the inability to stand under pressure, which is what tribulation means, to stand under intense pressure. He doesn't understand the purpose of trials and tribulations. But the good news is, the righteous man knows a secret. He knows that God has dealt with his past, that God is there to help him in the present, and he has a wonderful future for him in heaven. Amen. The Christian can face problems with the assurance that God is never going to allow it to harm them, but will use the process into conforming them into the image of Christ. God is also trying to shape and reshape your character through trials and tribulations. We need to embrace His righteousness and become more like Christ with each trial and affliction. Joyfully let God mold and shape your minds, your feelings, your desires, your habits, even while you're in the trial. Proven character in the Greek means to be tested or something to pass the test. It comes out approved. They do tests on paint on cars or houses, and they put it out in the desert. They put it in freezing places just to see how it's going to hold up. It's got to be tested before they're going to put it out on the market. And unfortunately, we have to, when those things happen, we have to remember, okay, God's trying to do something in me. And keep that right focus. Keep the right focus. Regardless of your circumstances, you'll be able to rejoice. The Christian can live with the assurance that God loves him. His Spirit is going to grow His character in us and in our lives, and then it will give us the power to do the same works that Jesus did. Isn't that what He called us to do? Only we're going to do greater works than He did. Like Nancy said, we have the power, more power than the power of Niagara Falls. We just need to come into that revelation and truly receive that, because that is God's reality for us. Amen? This one truth will keep us on the path of life and always leads us to victory. It's all about Jesus. It's seeing Him, knowing Him, following Him, becoming like Him, and doing the works that He did. This is supposed to be the ultimate purpose in our lives, and that everything that happens in our lives is meant to help it to bring it to pass. God is perfecting and completing us, lacking in nothing. Let's see. The Christian also is willing to have a teachable, humble attitude so that God can use him and work with him, and will also always have a heart of thanksgiving and praise. This kind of unselfish attitude, you can better focus on the goal of Christ-likeness. The result of a right focus and a right attitude is unquestionable hope, knowing that the events of your lives are designed to chisel away the imperfections and renew you into Christ's image should create in you an enduring joy. In fact, trials should find you worshiping and praising God even more. That's what I do. If I'm having some issues at home, I turn on my radio. I get out my CDs, and I worship and I praise. And I found myself in times where especially when Russ was gone, because he did have a seasonal job that took him away to California. Remember, we're in Ohio. He'd go to California, and he was a firefighter. He dropped the fire retardant on brush fires. So he'd be gone for 6 months at a time. So sometimes I'd get a little lonely, and sometimes I'd kind of get sad and depressed, and sometimes I'd even find myself just crying for no reason. And so I had the TV on one time, and John Tesh at the Red Rocks, I think that's the name of it, came on. And I just started, I was actually cleaning, dusting, and I had it on, caught my attention. I started worshiping and praising and dancing in my living room. The joy of the Lord returned. Praise and worship, no matter what form it is, whether it's physical, dancing, singing, just or praying Him and worshiping Him in your prayers, it's so, so important. Amen? Let's see. The deepest level of worship is praising God in the midst of your trials, in spite of the pain, thanking God during the trial, trusting Him when you are tempted to lose hope. Satan's always trying to steal your hope. Love Him, even when He seems so distant and far away. We've had those times when we seem like, well, where's God? You know, I feel so isolated. I feel like He's deserted me. He hasn't. He's trying to. That's a test. What are you going to do about it? You're going to press in? You're going to seek Him? That's what it's about. At our weakest, God is our strength. At our saddest, God is our comforter. He is our hope in our darkest hours. Praise and worship always takes your eyes off your distress and places your focus back on Him. Worship Him for who He is. Worship Him for making you for who you are in Him. Read scriptures, play music, sing songs. Do what you need to do to get yourself back in the right focus and attitude and in line with hope. Note, sometimes in the midst of a trial, you can actually try to block out people or things. You kind of shut down. And the best thing to do is to reach out to someone who's hurting. Because as you're encouraging them, God's working on you. Don't retreat. I had a friend whose father passed away, and she found out some not so nice things about her father, which really, really affected her, and she took on the guilt and shame from what her father had done. And it took her almost a year and a half to come out of her retreat. She retreated. She wouldn't take calls. She wouldn't answer her phone calls. She wouldn't call anyone. I finally, and she's one of my really dear friends, and she wouldn't even answer me. And so when I read that, you know, I thought, wow, that was her. And you can't do that, because if you don't let someone come in and speak in life and encourage it to you, you're just going to stay where you are, right? Isn't that so true? And recently, she was telling me about something, and we hadn't talked for a couple weeks. And I just started, and she's going through a trial, actually. And I said, well, what do you think God's trying to teach you through this? We just looked at it. She says, well, I'm not sure. We just talked about it, and then I prayed for her. She goes, boy, I sure am glad that we talked. You never know. So even when you're going out and you're trying to evangelize, or if you see somebody hurting, you know, a hug, a smile can mean so much, right? Go out there and help the hurting, and then it's going to bring healing not only to them but to you. The way you mature is by knowing the trial's purpose, enduring it with as much joy as you can, and preparing for the next trial with even more joy. Think about that one. Come at it with more joy. A Christian should desire to know God more than, and to seek his presence more than trying to get through the trial, trying to get the trial over with. Because God's got... Now, he's using that trial to draw you closer to him. Did you realize that? He's using those trials to pull you closer to him, to get you back to him. Isn't that neat? And your hope in God will never disappoint. Your eternal promise is sealed. You have the Holy Spirit residing in you. The Holy Spirit is in you, drawing out love in you so that you can love the Father. And because of your love for God the Father, are you willing to go through trials and tribulations so that he can perfect your life and mature you and prepare you for heaven? Recognize that trials do not nullify his love for you. He loves us dearly. The Spirit of love enlarges our hearts. So we have to work at not letting those trials and problems harden our heart. Remember, stay soft and pliable. The Spirit of love, again, enlarges your heart. It softens you. It makes you fruitful in the Spirit of love. And his love should control, urge, and impel you to stand up for your convictions, beliefs, and your relationship with him. And Nancy even said, you know, the love of God impels her to do what she does. That's the same thing for us. Let his love impel you to do and be his voice, his hands, his feet, to show love on the earth. 1 Peter 1:6-7. You should be exceedingly glad on this account, though now for a little while you may be distressed by trials and suffer temptations, so that the genuineness of your faith is infinitely more precious than the perishable gold which is tested and purified by fire. This proving or testing of your faith is intended to result in your praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, is revealed. Your faith may be proven genuine at the appearing of Jesus. Did you ever think of it that way? Because sometimes, you know, Satan and people try to put doubt in you that, you know, how can you serve a God you can't see? How can you do this? And you know that you just do it because God's told you to do it. Well, when Jesus returns, it's going to prove your faith. Does that make sense? Okay. There will be seasons of trials and tribulations before entering the kingdom of God. The good news is there will be no trials and tribulations in heaven. Faith is the most valuable virtue for Christians. Faith tested produces patience. It lasts till it brings you to heaven and you're in the glorious presence of the Lord forever. Understand that joy needs to reign in our lives through trials and tests. Then the fruit of patience and endurance increases as you walk along the path in the way of the Lord. Be assured that if you continue in Him, He will most certainly fulfill His purpose in your life, in you. Seek and take hold of God. Press into Him. Seek the Father. The goal of the Father is to establish your life on faith. He wants you to experience His glory and oneness with Him. He wants you to enjoy the fullness of being His son and daughter, to be made complete by Him, to be led by Him, and to be like Christ. Press into the calling of God. If you hesitate or resist Him, it will lead to lukewarm living. Pay attention to unctions. God has a plan for you. Will you press in or will you resist? Will you allow your soul to determine your life? Or will you allow God to determine your life? It's your choice. Your trial that you may be in right now is about God. It's about you and God. He's working in you, preparing you for eternal life with Him in heaven. Press in to take hold that for which Christ Jesus took hold of us, eternal glory with Christ. Do you have any questions? Comments? 1 Peter 1, 6 through 7. The salt? Salt was stop and seek, ask. Listen to what He says, because He always has something to say. And then trust. Trust what He says and obey. Salt.